Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. We appreciate everybody coming our way, either by being here, or through the internet, or through the radio, or mobile device. We appreciate your attention, and may our time together will be a blessing, both to you and yours. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15 is what we'll be looking at today. So, if you'd be so kind as to turn there, we'll get started with the lesson, which is entitled, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. What is that? What does that mean? I'll give you a second to get there. May the Lord bless our time together. May we seek Him with our whole hearts. May our love increase because of what is said and done today. And may He receive the honor and glory for what is said and done today. Quote, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," or slavery, "but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." End quote. These two words together appear only three times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. In all cases, a comma appears in between the two words, Abba and Father. Literally, it reads, Abba, the Father. Father in Greek is pater, P-A-T-E-R. Pater, as in paternal. Only Abba is capitalized and Father is not. Is this important for us to know today? We will seek to answer this in this lesson. First, we probably need to go back into the original, or as close to the original understanding of the word as possible. The word Abba. We'll start with Abba first. In the Jewish dictionary of the Targum and Talmud by Jastrow, capital J-A-S-T-R-O-W, on page 2, it states that Ab, A-B, citing Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, context, I believe that's probably the first mention of the word father. A-B there basically means father. Now, Abraham therefore means father of many, or father of many nations, or many people. With the ending added on to the A-B. There are many examples of names in the Old Testament with A-B in it. A few examples are Ahab, capital A-H-A-B, Abraham, and then Absalom. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll come across it. Now, the secondary meaning given to this word is that it is a title of respect. It was regarded as an honor to be called father, and some used it as their titles, replacing even their first names completely. The third meaning of the term Abba was that of a title of scholar. Scholar was a learned person, an educated person in the law, but not of the level of rabbi. Rabbi is on a higher plane than a scholar, and as a recognized scholar of superior abilities. Now, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, let me quote that to you on ABBA. AB, Hebrew father, is the Chaldean emphatic state, ABA. Petar, a customary title of God in prayer. Whenever it occurs in the New Testament, such as where we quoted it, Mark 14:36, Romans 8:15, and Galatians 4:6, it has the Greek interpretation joined to it. This is apparently to be explained by the fact that the Chaldea, through frequent use in prayer, gradually acquired the nature of a most sacred, proper name, to which the Greek-speaking Jews added the appellative from their own tongue. Abba, therefore, end quote, by the way, Abba, therefore, was in the ancient world treated as a proper name. It's a proper noun, capitalized. And in the New Testament, it is a proper noun and is also capitalized. Notice that in your text. According to the linguistic professor, a specialist in linguistics, K. Snig, capital S-N-I-G, of Bonn, Germany, he says, in the, about this word, quote, it is not only that the form of these words has become a fuller one by this ending with an A, but the meaning of these words also possesses a great emphasis, end quote. So Abba is an important word that emphasizes respect. So we know by this that basically the meaning of the word Abba actually is what it actually is. So now let's go on to the next word, Father. We're not done with Abba, but let's go on to the word Father. In John 17:1, Jesus directly addresses God the Father in his high priestly prayer. He begins his prayer just with the word Father. Of note that Abba, of course, is not used. It is Pater, P-A-T-E-R. Is there a difference? And what is it? What would the reason be for the difference in usage? According to Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, Pater, P-A-T-E-R, is from a root signifying a nourisher, protector, upholder. It is used as a in the nearest as the of the nearest ancestor, such as in Matthew 2:2, b of a more remote ancestor, the progenitor of the people, a forefather, or the patriarchs. 2 Peter 3:4. C, one advanced in the knowledge of Christ is considered a father, an elder who has achieved wisdom and understanding in the Word of God is a considered a father. 1 John 2:13. D, metaphorically, of the originator of a family or company of people animated by the same spirit as himself, such as of Abraham. Romans 4:11, 12, 16, and 17, 18, or can even apply to Satan. John 8:38, 41, 42. Remember that ye are of your, saying this to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. So they are all share characteristics of family. At this point, we probably need to look at the doctrine of Christ's relationship with the Father for a proper understanding. Now, on this, we simply refer to Christ being the authority on his own relationship. Quote, "I and my Father are one," end quote. John chapter 10, verse 30. Quote, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" End quote. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Jesus Christ was predicted in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 as, quote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," end quote. Quite obviously, this points out the unity in the Trinity. They are one, Jesus being God in the flesh. Yet, they are different, as clearly seen in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." End quote. In these cases, we see that the word Father points to one of family origin. Christ is the everlasting Father, in that all of creation was made by him and through him. Christ, quote, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created," end quote. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Jesus Christ deals with creation personally and interacts with it directly. God the Father is never seen or ever appears in the natural world. He is the God of all comfort, as we see from the word for orphan, meaning to be comfortless. So the Father is the originator of all that we receive, our comfort through the Holy Spirit, and provider. Here now we can finally see as to why Christ addresses God as Father, not Abba Father, directly in John chapter 17 in his prayer. He doesn't use the term Our Father either, as in what is called the Lord's Prayer. That is the term we are to use as his beloved children, the church. Father singular is how Christ addressed the Holy One of the Trinity who dwells in eternity, as a familiar term of close relationship. He didn't use the the title. He used the more familiar term of Father. So, now what about this passage? And we've had somebody bring this up in previous lessons. Quote, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. Call no man your father upon the earth. This stumps some people. To some people it's quite clear. This doesn't mean that Christ was telling us to disrespect our biological fathers. To do that would be to be breaking the law, and Christ never pushed anybody or advised anybody to break the law. The correct interpretation of that passage is found in how the Jews used the term Father during the time of Christ's earthly ministry. They held a teacher formed the man by giving him instruction and direction. They thus assumed the title of Father in such cases over their students, demanding loyalty and respect, similar to that demanded by God for our biological fathers in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which I remind you says, quote, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee," end quote. That's an important command. May we all not be guilty of disrespect. In the Matthew passage, Christ tells us not to yield. This is important here. Christ tells us not to yield equal respect to a teacher as to a parent by putting the teacher on the same level or above the parent. Modern education in America, as well as elsewhere, attempts to reverse this and to usurp parental authority and respect so as to supersede the parents at both the home as well as in the classroom. The words of Christ here ought to be noted by all Christian parents as relevant in this regard. The teacher is not of the same status as the parent. Also, this passage negates the possibility of ever using the title Father in the Roman Catholic so-called priesthood. They have no business coming close to that title being celibate, as well as holding forth a sterile, corrupted form of the gospel known as synergism. S-Y-N-E-R-G-I-S-M. Look it up. Synergism is the gospel of works. According to this corrupt doctrine, Christ's work of salvation can only be completed by the convert. It is grace plus. It is grace plus. The convert must do his part and supply the missing faith. Thus, the convert's faith becomes the basis of the Roman Catholic scheme of salvation, not grace. Contrary to that, God says, quote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God," end quote. Salvation is by grace, and faith is also by the gracious gift of God, which means we don't complete our salvation by supplying our faith to it. It is granted by God's grace. By the words of Christ, and who is our only authority in the church, there is to be no pope, capital P-O-P-E. The word Pope simply means father. Often the term for the Pope is Holy Father, which of course is blasphemy against God the Father himself. There is to be no Pope who thinks he is the head of the church, or places himself at the head of a church. Christ is the only head of his church, the true church. That would eliminate the Roman Catholic so-called church. Only God's word has authority in the church, and not church or papal decrees. Some modern expositors have proposed that Abba, Father, is referring to both Hebrew Christians as well as to Gentile Christians. The word Abba is for the Jewish believers, and the Greek word Father is for the Gentiles. So, that both are recognized as one family, looking to one God and Father. That's a nice, comfy little idea, but Mark chapter 14, verse 36, blows this assumption out of the shallow water of such reasoning. In Mark 14, 36, the Gentiles hadn't even come into the family of faith at that time, nor were they even present in the Garden of Gethsemane. This indicates that this idea of inclusiveness isn't the reason for the usage. We also see no real authority for the emphasis on the term Abba to mean daddy or dada, as a baby would put it. I've heard that quite a few times. These are found in some modern dictionaries and sermons. Though Abba may denote a special relationship, and a close one at that, it seems to mean more of a title of respect, and is used as a proper noun or particular name. That is why it is capitalized. Can't they see that it is capitalized? It is a title like Sir, capital S-I-R, in front of a name like Sir Lancelot, Sir William F. Buckley. The title there is a title of respect, of high regard. Abba is of the same nature. So, when we come to God through the Savior Jesus Christ, he becomes our Lord. Lord is a title closely associated with the words Abba Father in our new adopted family relationship. Let me explain that with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Quote, "Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord," end quote. Here, Sarah pictures the church, the bride of Christ, obeying him, Jesus Christ, as Lord, though family. Even though they're family, he is still Lord. Excuse me. Sorry. Now I hit the microphone. That is an important concept. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That is not something there to pump up male ego. Christ is the father of our faith, the originator of our faith, and the Lord of the household of faith. Our God and Savior Jesus Christ has a fatherland to which we all will abide in. Only those who bow to him may enter, so that he is Lord as well as our adopted Abba Father. We have a new relationship when we come to Him. We now respect Him as our Lord. He is our Abba. He is our Father. He is our provider. May His name be blessed forever. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come to Thee. We thank Thee now for being our Father. We thank Thee for the understanding of what Abba, Father, really means. Pray now that You'll bless us in our hearing and doing of Thy precious word. We thank Thee for sending Thy Son to die on the cross and for the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us. We pray for all the requests we have. We ask in Your mercy upon it, each and every one. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our nation that it will repent and turn to Thee. Pray for each one of our students and those who listen to our lessons, that You'll bless each one and that they in turn will be a blessing to others. May Your name be exalted and glorified, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you.